Staying Alive UK. Share your story.
Hello and welcome to the Share Your Story podcast series, a business biography, their story so far. I'm Michael De Groot and I'm your host. My purpose through this podcast series is to inspire you to take the next step towards your new business venture or indeed develop your existing business even further. I only interview business owners who employ less than 9 employees, and mostly they will be on their own. So let's get straight to it. And today I'm delighted to have on the show Karen Yankovic. Karen has worked in corporate America, owned small businesses, and been an entrepreneur and a solopreneur. She's built her multiple six-figure business by learning how to blend high-touch relationship-based marketing with practical business online savvy. She is known as the LinkedIn Queen and is an expert in online marketing. Karen's mission is to empower entrepreneurs to build highly profitable businesses doing what they love, all while making an impact. As an entrepreneur, she helps business owners develop and maintain a cohesive, authentic and professional brand presence online to increase their profits. Karen has found her sweet spot, combining her business experience and talents, and she loves helping her clients find theirs. Karen, welcome to the Share Your Story podcast. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here with you today, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining, and hopefully we'll inspire some other people to get out of their jobs and to get into business. So I have a few questions for you, Karen, today. And the first question is, would you share with the listeners a little bit about your personal life, where you were born, where you now live, and maybe a bit about your family, your hobbies, your interests? It would be really cool for people to understand the person behind the business.
Sure. Well, I'm a Jersey girl, born, raised, and still living in New Jersey. And I love it. For those of you that haven't been to New Jersey, beaches, mountains, you can go to New York City for dinner. You can go to Philadelphia for dinner. You can go to Atlantic City. So it's really an amazing place to live. So I love being here. Wow, a little bit about my story. So I started my life thinking I was going to be a teacher, right? A preschool teacher. And when I started doing that work when I was in college, I started working at preschools and I saw that the teachers were making about $1 an hour more than I was making. I was like, okay, well, this could be my hobby, but this might not be what I want to do for a living, right? So I decided I shifted gears a little bit. I ended up getting married very young, having kids very young. So I was having babies in my early 20s. And I just started doing what I thought I needed to be doing, right? I worked for the phone company. Mm-hmm. So I worked for the phone company and I was making pretty good money and raising my kids and commuting and driving my kids to daycare and babysitters and running around. And it was just crazy. It was just crazy. And then at one point I decided I was going to leave. My husband had gotten a new job. So I was going to leave. I was going to stay home with the kids for a little while. And I got a call about a week later from my boss at the phone company saying she wanted to introduce me to somebody who was starting a new business and did I want, you know, and they were looking for people to work for them. So I did. I met with this guy and it was the phone company was starting an agency business. So what that means is like you have insurance agents, right?
Yeah.
That represent all the different insurance companies. Well, this was an agency that people outside small companies could represent and sell Verizon services. So I worked for him and it was the program was at its absolute infancy. They were just starting this program. And it really was kind of, we had our own little world. Like we created our own business out of this. And what I loved about it was I made my own hours. I had flexible hours. I made pretty good money. I was able to be home with my kids. And, you know, we started hiring people, and then he retired and I took over the program. And then this program was under another company. And then the company was, the owner retired of the company, and I really didn't want to work for the new owner. So I approached Verizon and I said, you know, I'm running your most lucrative agency. I want my own contract.
Yeah.
So that was my first real official entrance into entrepreneurism, where I actually got, you know, where I actually was the owner of the company. So I left that company, started my own company. We were really successful. We had a whole room full of people and a whole room full of employees and bookkeepers and, you know, receptionists and all kinds of things and salespeople. But what happens when, and what I quickly realized, what I didn't understand then and I understand now, is the reason I was really good at running that business was because I loved the relationships. I loved sales. I loved creating opportunities and meeting new customers and working out an arrangement with them, you know, a network for them that was going to make them money, and it made us money and it made Verizon money. But when you own a business, you spend your day worrying about, do we have enough money to pay the light bill this week? Who's, you know, what benefit package are we taking? Are we giving paid vacation days next week? And it just was, that's what I ended up spending my time doing. And I just didn't want to do that anymore.
Sure.
So I ran that for about 7 years, sold that business, didn't look back, and took the clients. I just had a small consulting business, just me. So I still did like IT consulting.
Yeah.
Just privately. But in the midst of all of that, now I've got 4 kids. Okay. So I've had a bunch of kids through all of this. Get divorced. So now I'm a single mom raising 4 kids as a stay-at-home consultant.
And how old were you, Karen? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh gosh, I was probably 35.
Right.
I was probably 35 at the time. Yeah. In my mid 30s. So I decided that I needed to create one of my customers offered me a part-time job. With benefits and a regular salary, and a really good regular salary, I might add. So I took that in, I guess, like my late 30s. I took that job, or maybe I was 40 at that time. I took that job because it gave me benefits, right? I didn't have benefits. My kids were covered under their dad, but I didn't have benefits. And it gave me a steady income. I could make sure that the bills were paid. I could make sure the lights were on and my kids were in braces. But I still worked part-time on the side. So and did my consulting business. But that job, they talked me into coming full time. And again, they made me some really good offers.
Yeah.
So I was making really good money, but I was miserable there. I drove an hour each way. So 2 hours a day, I was in the car. That was physically taking a toll on my body, not just the stress and the aggravation of it. It was physically taking a toll on my body. At one point, I finally changed my hours with them because the commute, it was right outside of New York City. The commute was so horrendous, so much traffic, that I changed my hours to start work at 7 a.m., which means I was waking up at 4 a.m. now every day.
Wow.
I was in bed by like 7 o'clock, right? My body couldn't physically stand being in traffic for an hour, hour and a half each way every day.
Yeah.
But I'm still doing my business at the side. But what happened was I started to take some classes in online marketing to see how, just because I was helping my friends market their business. And I started to really find that was my sweet spot, right? Because I was blending the techie stuff that I knew, like from all my days at Verizon. I understood technology and how to make things work. But I loved the sales side, right? So social media is a nice blend of that, right? It's technology plus, you know, being social and selling
totally.
And marketing.
Yeah.
So people literally started coming to me and saying, can you do this for me? Like, sure, I can do this for you. When people start throwing money at you, you start taking a hard look at it and thinking, okay, well, you know, maybe I should look at this as a real business. So I started to shift my business to social media consulting, and it grew so fast that I was still working full-time for this business, but I had a full-time job with pretty much part-time hours. Like, it was like, when I quit that job, my friends and family thought I was insane.
Yeah.
Because I was making a ton of money. I had 4 weeks vacation, 2 weeks sick pay, and an unbelievable amount of time off other than all of that. Like, it was, you know, and I could make my own hours, but I still had to go into the office every day. And that's what was really killing me. They paid for everything. They paid for my cell phone, my computer, my laptop. They paid all my, you know, tech, all my technology stuff they covered. But I just was miserable. So it got to the point that even though I had 6 weeks vacation and a ton of time, I was taking all that those days off to meet with customers for my social media business, to speak at conferences, to speak at events. So a few years ago, I just said, I can't do this anymore. And I quit that job. And I've been full time in my social media business ever since. And I have not looked back for one second. I'm so glad that I did what I did. And the funny thing is, Michael, and I'd love to know if you or any of your other guests have experienced this. I had these visions of, okay, I'm not going to commute every day. I'm going to wake up in the morning, make myself a cup of tea, do some yoga, walk the dog, you know, I'm lucky I'm showered by 8 p.m. PM sometimes, right? Like I get up, I hit the computer and I'm working. So I'm working probably more hours than I ever worked before in my life. But I love every minute of it. So it's
different, isn't it?
Fabulous.
There is a difference. I mean, I'm interested to know, what was it? Was it the driving that made you miserable, or was it something else as well with that company? What made you really miserable there?
The driving was a big part of it, but it was, you know, if you have entrepreneurism in your blood, and I think a lot of us do, you know, you're just not made to be an employee,
right?
You know, like you're just not made to be an employee. And of course I did what, and you know, one of the reasons I think I'm a good employee is because I'm confident enough to say, I know that this is how you want it done, but you're paying me all this money to tell you why it should be done this way. Do you know what I mean?
And I was
confident enough to say those kinds of things, but at the end of the day, you're dealing with a lot of office politics and company politics, and I just had no interest in it. In doing it anymore.
It's the decision cycle is too long. And
yes.
Because I think if you want things doing, I mean, working for yourself or working even with a small team, you know, decision making just happens in seconds. And I think that's probably been the most frustrating for me when I was in corporate life, that, you know, it just took weeks and months for things to actually happen.
And sometimes they happened not based on best practices, but based on because somebody said this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're just like, all right, so now you're dealing with it. And, you know, the funny thing is, one of my responsibilities in this job I was to deal with a particular government organization that did funding. And I, you know, part of my job was managing that funding, and it was a nightmare. It was probably the worst part of my job, because every single person I spoke to there, almost, I mean, I would say 80% of the people I spoke to there were, it was a nightmare. And now one of my clients in my mastermind actually works for that company. And here it is like 4 years later, but when my phone rings and I see that name and number come up on my caller ID, it still sends like chills up my spine a little bit, you know, like,
and the first time
she called me from there, I laughed like a minute or two into the conversation. I finally said to her, who do you work for? And she told me, and I started laughing. I go, you might think I was crazy, because the first minute or two of this call, I was like, who are you and why are you calling? How did you find me? You know what I mean? Like, so now she jokes when she calls me. She's like, all right, you can breathe again now. You know, it's just me. It's not them.
Oh, wow.
But it was, you know, you had no choice but to deal with I just didn't want any part of it anymore.
No. It's so interesting, isn't it? I mean, I guess at some level it was a gift, you know, that it pushed you out in to do something on your own and have the confidence to do it. I mean, because because you had all of the benefits and the money and everything and the security of it all, there was still something pulling you or pushing you to do something else. So what happened next then? So you left them and you thought social media was a good thing. How did that then develop into your business, your own business?
Well, I was doing my own business at that time. You know, I was doing my own business for a couple of years at that time. And so I basically just had more hours to do my own business and was able to, you know, listen, when you get, you know, I had to make some big shifts in my, you know, my lifestyle and my business, and the fancy car was gone for a while, you know, because I just needed to, I mean, I took a, you know, a big fat, drop in pay, right?
Like, yeah.
So I had to quickly ramp up. So I worked hard with a business coach to make that happen. First of all, I had goals I needed to achieve in order to be able to do it. I just didn't just leave. You know, I had some goals that, some milestones that I wanted to hit. And the interesting thing is I put on my phone, like a countdown timer, and it was like 3 years and 12 months, you know what I mean? Like, or 3 years and 6 months, like, you know, in 1,283 days, I'm quitting this job, you know, because I wanted to, because I knew that I was going to do it, but I gave myself a couple of years to do it.
Wow.
I did it in probably half the time that I thought I was going to do. But, you know, once I made the decision that I was going to be full-time in my business, I knew I had to do it. I'm not always known to make the best, most responsible financial decisions, but I knew in this case that I had to.
Yeah.
Right? I knew that I had to have some things in place. So I was at least a year and a half ahead of schedule to do it. Because I was, again, my company was paying for all my technology. I had an immense amount of time off. I had plenty of time to run my business on the side. So I was able to do that. Not everybody has that. So that's really where I was lucky compared to some other people. I had a lot of time to do it, but I work with people now that, you know, those last 6 months were crazy. Actually, the last 6 months at my job and the first 6 months I was home was crazy, because the last 6 months at my job, I was working like a crazy person to try to make sure that I had everything done. And then what I ended up doing was, you know, I gave them like 90 days notice or 60 days notice. So I had plenty of time, but once I gave them notice, I'd used up all of my vacation time. I started taking unpaid time off to get things done because I kind of eased into it financially, even because I just couldn't get everything done.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then once I was home full time, I really worked a lot to make sure that I could quickly recoup that, you know, at least part of that income. Because, you know, one other thing that's really, and I'm not going to say this to scare the people that are listening, Michael, but I think it's really important to understand that as an entrepreneur, a six-figure business as a paid employee is very different than a six-figure business as an entrepreneur. If you're making $100,000 in a paycheck, you need to probably make almost double that as an entrepreneur to have that same amount of money in your pocket.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to scare people, because I do think as an entrepreneur, there's a lot more opportunity to do that, right? There's opportunity for every single entrepreneur listening. And the reason I say it is because I want the people here to be thinking bigger. You know, if you were making $25,000 and you say, all right, I just want to make $25,000, you know, and now you're making $25,000 as an entrepreneur and you're just not making ends meet, it's because you, as an entrepreneur, you have to think bigger. You have to double what you think you're going to, you have to really always be looking to raise the bar.
Yeah.
And it's doable as an entrepreneur. It's doable as an entrepreneur. You've got, the world is open to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I love encouraging people. And that's why I love that you're doing this podcast, because that's my mission too. I love encouraging people to do what they love to do. Because if you're doing what you love to be doing, it doesn't feel like work, and it doesn't, you know, and you're good at it, and you're going to quickly be successful at it. Right. So,
in the end, it becomes a hobby, right? It's a hobby.
Right.
It's part of who you are. It's part of your life. It doesn't sound and feel like work. And of course, you need to give yourself some time off and to recharge your batteries. But even so, because you enjoy it so much, you don't see this as a job as such, because you just enjoy it every single day. I'm curious though, because one of the things that you mentioned, I'm just going to wind back a tiny little bit, because this is where people often get it wrong. And this is where I got it wrong. See, I jumped from my business, but I hadn't done any preparation. I didn't have anything in place. So I then had to survive on very little financially. And it was a real struggle to get my business going. But what you were doing, you spent a few years and months developing your business and getting it started while still being employed. And I had a guest on previously in a previous podcast who'd done exactly the same. And that's really, really clever. Now, had you planned to do it in that way, or did it just happen by accident?
Well, I, I didn't plan to be running another business, you know? So the business kind of developed on its own. And then I realized that that's what I wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I started doing that. Yep.
Right. So you were, it was by default that you could run your own business, develop it while still being employed and having some security financially to see if your other business was going to be workable and would reward you financially.
Exactly. Exactly. But here's the thing, when I knew that I really did want to do this full time, I also knew that it didn't have to happen tomorrow. Mm. Right. Now, some people don't have that. Some people are, you know, they're laid off, right? They just go from having a job to doing that. There's lots of different ways to do this. I just happened to have that freedom to do it and said, all right, I know I want to be out of this place. So I'm going to put a plan in place to do it. And I'm going to give myself a couple years to build up a business that, I mean, I live outside of the New York City area. It is not inexpensive to live here. You know, I knew that I needed to be, you know, I needed to replace a big chunk of income just to be able to maintain, you know, pay my mortgage and my taxes. And I mean, it's not like I lived in a mansion, right? But it's expensive to live here.
Sure.
So I knew that I had to do that. And, you know, the funny thing is what's happened since then is I've realized that a lot of the things when you're making the decision from the entrepreneur standpoint, it's different than when you're making decisions from an employee standpoint. And let me just explain what I mean by that. Like when I was working full time and working part time on my business, I was driving a Lexus. I loved my car, blah, blah, blah. My excuse to myself was I'm in the car an hour and a half each way every day. I need to have a nice car, blah, 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 blah. Now as an entrepreneur, I am so determined to keep my overhead so low because I want the freedom that entrepreneurism gives me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I don't want to drive a nice car, but my goal now is to make enough money to buy it cash. Do you know what I mean? And when you're buying something cash, all of a sudden you look at that $60,000 for a Lexus versus $40,000 for a Honda, and the Honda looks pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have that hamster wheel of saying, I need $10,000. If I need $10,000 a month to live this month, my goal is to be able to live on $5,000 a month by the end of the year. Do you know what I mean? So it's not that I don't, it's just funny how my perception shifted and what I thought I needed before has changed a lot because as an entrepreneur, it's given me so much freedom, and the lower my overhead is for living, the more freedom I have.
You are so right with that, and that's 100% what happened to me too. Because in all my career, and I was employed for 28 years, and it was always like, I want the bigger company car, I want the bigger company car. What's the next job, you know, pay rise I'm going to get? You're always striving for that because that's the only thing you can measure. When you work for yourself, those things do change in terms of those aspirations. But in a really weird, strange way, you don't feel you need it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the other thing is, as an entrepreneur, and I don't know if it's the same, you know, on your side of the pond as it is on this side of the pond, but it's not as easy to get credit, right? So you got to, you know, to get a car loan, you don't have a pay stub to hand them.
That's right.
Right? So for a million reasons, it just makes more sense to live more on a cash basis, which is just a better way to live anyway, when you've got this big fat paycheck coming in, you don't mind running up a credit card because you know you're going to be able to pay it, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I don't have the cash, and it's not that I can't pay the credit card now, my business is doing very well, but if I don't have the cash, I don't buy it.
Mm.
Because again, of that, I want the freedom to be able to do things. So it's really shifted my perspective a lot. And even when I owned the business, when I had that 7-year business where I was running that business with all the employees, I got a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, so it still didn't even feel like it was really my own business, even though it was my own business.
Yeah.
You know, we had a bookkeeper, we had a payroll company, I got a paycheck. So this is really, even though I've been an entrepreneur for most of my life, this is the first time I've been like worked from home and, you know, really, really ran the business the way it is. So it's just interesting to me how my life has shifted and how the things that I thought were important to me are just not important.
Fascinating. It is really fascinating. And it's really, and thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure everybody can, you know, relate to it, but also they can prepare themselves. And this is what this is my purpose, you know, to help people have a sensible approach and idea of what's going to happen for real rather than an imagined world. Because we do make up a lot of stories in our heads about how things are going to turn out.
Right.
So, Karen, I'd love to know then, so how long have you then in total been running your own business?
Well, this particular business, I mean, you know, it's had evolutions, right? So
yeah.
This particular business, I've actually started my corporation in, I think, 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
2000. It was in 2000. But that's when I was doing consulting. Mm. You know, I was doing the IT consulting. And then, so I still had that business as I was working full time. And, you know, so I've it's had a lot of, you know, iterations, if you will, right?
So absolutely.
So my social media business, it's probably been about 6 years.
Yeah.
That my focus shifted to social media consulting, and then 3 or 4 years that it's been full time at that.
Fabulous. So share with us then, what have been some of the challenges? And also, what have been some of the highlights? So we'd like to have a balance of both. What can you share with us?
Yeah. So the challenges, one of the biggest challenges for me is managing my time, because it's just easy to work all the time.
Yeah.
And I have to remember, and I have to remind myself that that's my choice, because I can also block out my calendar on a Tuesday afternoon and go sit on the beach. You know, so if I'm working on a Saturday afternoon because I don't have any other plans, so what? You know, so it really, managing your time is really important, and understanding that, you know, you don't need to be working. You don't need to work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, but you also don't need to work 7 days a week, you know, and taking time off and building in a way to actually take time off that I can shut my brain off. You know, time off, you know, it's a conversation I have a lot with my clients, which is, you know, if I'm checking my phone while I'm sitting on the beach, am I off or am I on? Am I off? Is it time off or am I working still?
Yes.
And I, you know, so there's an overlap as an entrepreneur. I like, you know, I think it's a little of both. It's a little of both. You know, and I spoke to a customer yesterday who's a realtor, and she was like, I don't understand. Where do you find the time to do social media? I said, you know what? Before I did this business, I was in the car 2 to 3 hours a day. You know, which was completely wasted time.
Yes.
I'm not spending anywhere near 2 to 3 hours a day managing my own social media. Mm. You know, so as an entrepreneur, remember that if you're sitting watching your kid's baseball game and you're checking your emails, that's okay, because you're at your kid's baseball game.
Yes.
Not in a cubicle saying, I wish I was at my kid's baseball game.
Yes.
So that's really the thing that I think is one of the challenges, is managing your calendar and kind of giving yourself permission to be that person checking their phone. Obviously, not while you're at dinner with friends, you know,
no.
Not while you're with your family. You need to really be fully present. But learning, I guess that's the challenge, learning how to be fully present when it's the right time to be fully present, and how to give yourself permission to be, you know, working from the car while you're sitting in the car waiting for soccer practice to end.
I think, you know, that's a great one.
That's okay. That's a challenge to learn how to create that balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great one. And of course, you know, your family has to be, you know, anybody's family who are, you know, need to be understanding of, you know, that work can happen at any time, potentially. And then sometimes a decision has to be taken that it might have to take priority. It just depends what comes up. And then share with us then, you have already in some way shared quite a few, but what are some of the highlights that stand out for you?
You know, the highlights is the freedom. You know, one of the things that I am really passionate about for my business, and I work really hard to keep this, is the ability to work from anywhere. And you know, if I want to, if I decide I want to spend a month in Italy, you know, overlooking the sea, I can do that.
Yeah.
Because none of my customers expect me to be there. And that is way less expensive than anybody might think. You know, so another reason why I like to keep my overhead really low. So if I want to spend $3,000 to get an Airbnb, you know, in some fun exotic place and really get to live there for a month, I can. You know, so I work really hard at having the ability to do that, and not getting myself, you know, I have a lot of customers that count on me on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, and we have regular meetings, but for the most part, they're all virtual. I do love to get a chance to meet people in person, but I, you know, it's not a requirement, you know, for me. So that to me is the biggest, is the freedom it gave me, the freedom to be able to go to your kid's soccer game or, you know, or like I said, go spend a month on, you know, the coast of California or whatever. So that's really, I think for me, the best part of being an entrepreneur and having the ability to kind of create my own destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in charge, right?
Exactly. Exactly. For better or for worse, right?
Yeah. You're the one. So the only person to blame is yourself if things don't work out. So
exactly.
And I do. I mean, I think everybody loves and dreams of having that element of freedom in their lives and to decide when they do what they want to do and being able to choose. And this is why it's such a great thing to work for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, part of the other side, to go back to the challenge a little bit, the other challenge with that is that is making sure the people in your life know that you're actually working, right? Yeah. So that, you know, like I have to make sure that my front door is closed and locked when I do things like this, because if somebody sees my car, you know, like they could be ringing, they know I'm home.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't realize that I'm working and that, you know, and that I really can't be interrupted a lot of the time.
That's right.
So you really have to, be able to create, you've got the freedom, but you have to be really, really good at setting boundaries.
Yeah. Okay. So what's next for your business? You had a really good plan when you were employed, when you were going to exit, and you had a timer to say in 2 years and X number of months, I'm going to be getting out of here. Do you have a similar plan for your business today that, you know, you'd like to exit it in 5 years,
yeah,
10 years or?
Exit it? I don't know that I really have an exit plan. I love what I'm doing. Mm. So I'm not, you know, I don't really have an exit plan at the moment. I love doing what I'm doing. What the interesting thing, which we didn't talk about, and we don't really need to get into the details, but the business I was in when I left my job was mostly agency business, meaning I had customers that we did all of their social media for them. I don't do that at all anymore.
No.
I completely shifted my business about a year into that, because I just didn't want all of the overhead that went with that. You know, having people that worked for me that I had to make sure that they posted 5 times on Facebook for this customer, and then waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my gosh, did we post for this customer? Did I tell this person to do that? It was too much, again, like too much running the business and not enough doing the business, kind of like the situation I found myself in 10, 15 years ago.
Yes.
So I've shifted my business to have a different model where it's more strategy, but what is coming up next for me is to do more digital programs. I have some new digital programs that I'm rolling out and that I've been working on for the last year that are kind of coming to fruition now, so that I can have a little bit of multiple streams of income.
Yes.
Right? Because again, as an entrepreneur, that's really important. You know, you have one big client and your one big client decides they're going to go in another direction, you know, you just lost $5,000 a month, right? So it's really important for me as an entrepreneur to build in multiple streams of income. So that's the biggest push I've got coming up in the next few years is to develop some, you know, healthy streams of income from some digital programs.
That is perfect. I mean, that is the way the world is going, right? More and more people want to learn stuff and they're happy to do it online now. Because again, they don't have time to go to, you know, to a training center and get tuition, and the difficulty,
exactly.
Plus the difficulty I found is that you get people at so many different levels of competency that some people in the room are frustrated because they already know that stuff. And other people in the room are going, oh, I want to know more of that advanced stuff, but you're not giving me that now. And so when it's done digitally, people can pick and choose what they want to learn.
Absolutely.
And it's especially and especially useful for other aspiring entrepreneurs because they don't have time to go to these classrooms, but they can learn online when they have the time to do that.
Exactly. And you know what, Michael, one of the things that I'm committed to with any digital program that I run is building some of me time into it. Because I think at the end of the day, I've built up a reputation of being somebody that, you know, that really loves to help businesses develop the strategy. So what I like to do is, like, all of the programs I have built have built in regular Q&A calls, built in Facebook groups for support. So if somebody that took a course has a question about how to do something, I want to be available to them on some level. Obviously, you can't be available to them on the same level you're available to your private clients, but I want to be able to be available to them on some level to be able to help them, you know, help them save some time, because you can spend 3 hours trying to figure it out, or you can come to a Facebook group and say, hey, Karen, I got stuck here. Do you recommend this or this? If I can answer you, then you can move on to doing something better. So I think that one of the challenges people have with digital programs is that we've all taken digital programs. I don't know about you, but I got a library of them, that half of them that I haven't even watched.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So digital programs, while they're good, I want to make sure that the people that take my programs get some support around that so that they can actually execute.
And that is perfect, because 99.9% of people don't follow through with it.
Right. And so, I still can't make you follow through. Like, even the Q&A calls, you know, if I have 100 people in a program, I'm lucky if I get 20 people on a Q&A call. So you've got the opportunity to ask me your question live as if we were working one-on-one,
yeah.
You know? But I can put it all out there. The people that take advantage of all of those things are seeing amazing results at the price of a digital program versus one-on-one coaching. So
yeah.
I love the model, and I'm excited to be doing more of it.
It's brilliant. It's perfect. It's perfect. And success. Wish you massive success with that. Sounds really, really exciting.
Thank you.
Oh, Karen, you've shared some really amazing advice and information here. Really, really enjoyed listening to you. So I'm going to ask you to try, out of everything that you've learned, to give one nugget, just one bit of advice that you would give aspiring business owners. What would it be? And it can be a strange one. It doesn't matter. And you've already given loads, but
okay. I'm going to give you one that's going to make people blink, I think. My one piece of advice. And I'm going to say this advice is probably for 90% of the people. There are some people that are already doing this, but for 90% of the people, my one piece of advice is double your prices and increase what you're giving them.
Wow. that's a scary
right?
one.
People are always worried, like, oh, they can't afford it. People are only going to pay $20. Well, what if it was $40? If you can make it $40 and give them more of you and make that more valuable, you just doubled your income.
Yeah.
Right. And if you double your prices and lose half of your clients, you're making the same amount of money for half of the amount of work. So most entrepreneurs don't charge enough money. And I don't want you to just overcharge people. I want you to provide amazing value for the additional money, and don't work so damn hard to sell your $20 products.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And I saw recently an amazing TED talk on this. And particularly related to women entrepreneurs who are not charging enough because of whatever stereotyping is out there. And so if people want to learn about, you know, charging enough, go and check it out on TED Talks, because
Who was it? Do you remember who it was?
No,
I'll
have to find it. I'll send it to you, and I will also include it in the show notes so
Perfect.
People can check
Perfect.
It out, and they can check that out, because there's a whole section on that area specifically, and it was a female presenter, and I loved what she was saying. It was just awesome. So, I love that. Really amazing advice. That is, and if you know something, it's the scariest thing for most people to do. And it comes down to, you know, limiting beliefs at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And people
think. And we've kind of come full circle, right, in this conversation. We started out with, you've got to, if you're leaving your job, you've got to understand, you've got to double what you think you're going to need is going to be double.
Yes.
Because your expenses are high. You know, it's not like people are just handing you money that you can now put in your bank account and pay your bills with. You've got to pay assistants. You've got to pay your contact management software. You've got to pay for your webinar software, you know, whatever. So you've got to think bigger. And if you don't think bigger, you probably won't succeed.
Well, for me, definitely, and you've given me a big message too. The message is bigger, double.
Exactly. So double just go bigger. Right to double. Just go right to double. And then look at, and you know, and I tell people when I start working with people, like, if you were gonna offer some amazing high-end service, you know, and you could give people every single thing that you could possibly want in that service, I want you to map it out, list it out. What would be an amazing day to spend with you? You know, give me everything that would make it like dream big. And it's not anywhere near as big as they think, and it's not going to cost anywhere near as much. And instead, we think the other way around. We're like, well, people will only pay $20, so I can only do this. I want you to think about it from the other way. I want you to think about it from the biggest service you could possibly offer. And then if you have to, pull a couple things out, right, to get the price where you want it. But flip it around. Instead of saying, how can I keep this price low? Think about what do I have to charge if I want to give them everything I can possibly give them? If I want to give them an amazing service.
Love it. Absolutely love it. It's the best advice I've heard for ages. It's just amazing. Thank you so much. Now, for people to get in touch with you, Karen, and well, before we do that, have I missed anything that you would like to share?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we've covered a ton.
Brilliant. I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, how can people connect with you, get in touch with you, find you? You're obviously all over social media, but what are the platforms that you would prefer them to get in touch with you?
Well, I'm at Karen Yankovic across all social media. So anywhere you'd like to connect with me, I'm happy with it. But my favorite is LinkedIn. Yeah. I would never say to anybody, everybody needs Twitter or Facebook, but I will say everybody needs a great LinkedIn profile. So I would say, you know, connect with me on LinkedIn. Tell me this is where, you know, we were first introduced on your show. So I have a little sense of, you know, how we connected. And I would love your LinkedIn connections.
Brilliant. Well, I will certainly include the links in the show notes so they'll be able to find you everywhere. And yeah, please connect with Karen on LinkedIn and continue the conversation there about entrepreneurship and about social media and all of the amazing knowledge that Karen has. Karen, thank you so much. It's been absolutely brilliant to have you on the Share Your Story podcast. And I hope that people out there, those are not just the ones that are dreaming, but also the ones that are doing and need to be dreaming even bigger. So, and I hope we will meet one day face to face as well. And I look forward to that day and keep in touch.
As do I. And I think we will.
Thank you, Karen. Bye for now.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Staying Alive UK. Share your story.